I saw your photo shoot in Playboy, and I gotta tell you, it was fabulous. Absolutely fabulous. Can I ask you to read a station demo real quick?
Sure.
Real basic.
Is it Wieners?
Wieners.
Hi, this is China, the ninth wonder of the world, and you're listening to Wieners Barbecue on 101.9 the ITR.
Welcome, everybody, to Wiener's Barbecue here on 101.9 FM CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, every Tuesday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. Opening up the show today, she'll be playing music for us all day long from 4:30 to 6. You'll hear her at 4:30, just before 5, right around 5:20, right around 5:40, and then just before the show closes at 6 o'clock. Without further ado, here is Haifa.
Cigarettes, graffiti covered steps, late night ventures with the crew. Everybody's telling me I got these things to do, but all I can think of is you. Show me the way to the jailhouse. Show me the way to the jailhouse. He looks at me and says, fuck yeah, let's go. Blades of grass, stone watching people pass. They got these funny shoes and hats. And Dare and I, we sing songs about the ganja grow, watching that April sun go. Show me the way to the jailhouse. Show me the way to the jailhouse. I said, now show me the way. Oh, now show me the way. Oh, now show me the way to the jailhouse. She looks at me and says, fuck yeah, let's go. I said, now show me the way to the jailhouse. I said, now show me the way to the jailhouse. I said, won't you show me the way? You show me the way. You do that thing you do. Oh, oh, well, she looks at me and says, fuck yeah. Yeah, let's go.
Thank you very much. All right, you will hear Haifa again just before 5 o'clock in about 20 minutes' time. All right, let's get the guys in here. Coming in. Welcome to Wiener's Barbecue here on 101.9 FM CITR Radio. Bumping the mics. This guy's got class here to our left. He didn't even want to come. He didn't even want to come. With us right now, as we're getting into our UBC Sports half-hour segment, is from the UBC Thunder men's basketball team. Both of them. Two coaches today. I couldn't get a player. I tried every one of them, too. Down the line. And I just settled for you guys.
And none of them have class.
Now, these were the first two guys I asked. Bird Knopp and Jordan Yu. Starting with you, Jordan, who first-year coach on the team. You played at UBC. You played all 5 years here?
I played 3 years here, 2 years in the college league.
You play? Okay, I'm sorry. So how's that? The transition from being a player to now coaching, among other things, your little brother.
Yes, it is very different. I think as a coach, you see a lot more things as a player. That's for sure. I know while I played, I thought I knew everything was going on, but as I'm starting to realize now, and as Kev points out every single day, I'm learning everything as a coach right now, and there's a lot of things that players just don't realize on the floor.
Well, my question for you, the transition from being a coach to a player, is the players get chewed out, and the coaches do the chewing out. Am I correct on that, Vern?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Okay, so you know you're a player, and you're getting, you do a bad play. Was it Vern Knopp was the guy that yelled at you mainly, or was it Hanson, or who was it?
My first couple of years, I think Vern Knopp was one of those players, one of the coaches that chewed
out. No, Randy Norris, actually. You're the forwards.
right, mainly?
Oh, but Vern will talk to anyone.
Who did the chewing out when you were a player? Who when Jordan screwed up, would let you have it?
Kev was all over me as a player. Him being a point guard himself.
Right.
Randy's the same way, being a point guard.
Right.
Playing at high levels, both of them. You couldn't get away with a mistake on the floor, that's for sure, playing a point guard.
Here's my question, though. This is what I just like to go through, is teams... Something goes wrong during the game. You might even win the game, but you didn't win it how, you know, you didn't play very well. And the coaches come in and they let you have it. The example, I don't know if either of you were at that game. It was the second game, the NCAA men's game. Who was it? It wasn't Boise.
Air Force,
okay? Right. And the coaches call out the players and everybody's all mad. So, and then the players play well. But, so you, as a player, I'm sure you're in situations where you guys were getting chewed out like that. And now you're the guy chewing the guys out.
Right.
How's that? What's that transition like?
Well, I think as a player, situations happen on the floor, which depending where you are on the floor, what's going on, I think as a player, sometimes you don't fully understand what happened during a play because you're in a certain situation and you see things one way, and definitely a coach will see another thing another way. And what I'm starting to learn is, yes, you know what, when I played, I thought I was right, but there's always a different side to it. And a coach usually has a better understanding of what's going on the floor, what should have been happening. And there's not one way of doing everything. But
during the yelling at sessions, we'll call them, do you walk in there all serious face while Hansen's yelling at the guys, you know, straight face, arms crossed? Are you doing that? Are you into that?
Oh, you got to be into it. I mean, if you're smiling and Cam's yelling at you, that's never a good thing. Never a good thing.
How's Jordan working out as a coach, Bert?
Jordan so far has been great. The guys are already kind of, most of them have known Jordan as when he was a player earlier, and they're adjusting to him quite well. I mean, it's tough for Jordan sometimes just because there's four other coaches talking and yelling and screaming as well, so he's got to pick his places to get a chance to talk to the guys. But yeah, he's fitting in well. The guys like him. Coaching staff, we all know him really well, and he's definitely gonna have a positive be a positive influence for us this year.
And what is the art, Vern, of, you know, giving these players the negative talking to, you know, when they're down, you're on them, you got to be up? What is the art like?
I don't know if there's really it's an art. It's just, you just got to kind of, you know, pick your battles kind of thing with certain players. You know, the players, most of the time, the older players know they've done something wrong. They don't always need to be told what they did wrong. But at the same time, they have to, you know, respect what the coaches say. Like Coach Hans says, the coaches, we're always right. We're never wrong. And we usually have the video to back it up if they need some enforcement on that. But it's just knowing certain players, getting to know the different personalities. And some guys need a kick in the butt every now and then, and other guys you just kind of, you need to be a little bit easier on them, I guess you could say.
Have you yelled at somebody yet?
I've gotten mad a couple times.
Yeah.
I don't got a very strong voice like Kay, and I can't really get it out there, but they get the message.
Yeah, yeah, sure. Yeah. You get a kick out of it at all?
It's nice being on the other side for once. It is. I'm not going to lie. All the years that I've played and all the abuse I've taken, it's good to give it out a little. Yeah.
New team without Casey, obviously. Casey Archibald, yes. No longer with you. So anyway, you cut it. It is a new UBC basketball team. You got the freshman players coming in. How's it all working out so far? You had the three exhibition games against the NCAA schools at the beginning of September, and now you don't have an exhibition game till the middle of October.
Yeah, well, we have a few scrimmages. We had a scrimmage last Friday at Douglas College that we played, and played 5 10-minute quarters against them, and that was kind of, you know, game-like conditions, I guess you could say, even though it's called a scrimmage. I think we have maybe one more coming up, either against Langer or Cap.
Cap.
But it is definitely a different team. A lot of new faces. So we're still definitely going through an adjustment period at this point.
You know at all what you got yet?
No, it's preseason, and there's a reason why the schedule is as it is, because we don't want to play too many early season games. You know, there are a few preseason games in October, but it doesn't get started until, I believe, it's the 26th against Trinity. We'll have a pretty good idea then what we're going to be like.
And for the forwards, Vern, just want to ask, the progression of this player suffered what appeared to be a horrendous knee injury in the game versus, who was it?
Boise State.
Partial tear of his MCL.
Yep.
And I saw him today. He was complaining to me that his knee brace was too sweaty. Bryson Cool, who's hoping to be back for your season opener to Pierce. How's he coming along?
He's becoming along okay, I guess. I mean, he's doing some of the non-contact stuff today. He was running up and down the court a little bit. It's more just really a week-to-week thing right now. I think he's pretty optimistic that he can be playing within a week and a half, maybe 2 weeks. It's just something that it's just got to have time to heal and take its course. And, I mean, he's rehabbing it, pretty much working on it every day. And he's got to do his part to get back on the court. But, you know, so far so good, I guess. But it gives a lot of the younger guys a chance to step up and get some playing time, especially early in the year. And that's always a positive.
Because that's a guy, I mean, your first game regular season will be against Trinity Western. I believe it's October 25th. I mean, do you even want to play him in that game where they don't have a big team and it's constantly running up and down the floor? Or you'll see then? I mean,
we'll see. Well, I mean, he'll have a few practices hopefully before then, maybe some of the exhibition games prior to that, and we'll know where he is as far as game shape, game ready. But one of Bryson's strengths is running the floor, so, you know, playing against Trinity, that's actually not a bad time to get back at it for him as well.
Because you have to have him going, though, for these, you know, your Calgary weekend and those games. You have to have Bryson in there.
Yeah, we play anytime we travel, we're going to definitely need Bryson against to match up against some of the bigger guys in the across the country. BC, there's not too much size in here right now, so judging by what the look on the other teams are, maybe SFU has some height. But, yeah, we'll definitely need him as the season progresses.
Yeah, Jordan, I mean, I got to say it, you know, you, Vic, decimated with players leaving.
Yes.
And your division... doesn't look like the strongest in the country right now, I have to say.
Well, I think a lot of the teams have taken a step backwards. But that's good for us. I mean, what else can I say? We're not angry about it, yeah. That's for sure. But, no, I think even though the teams have taken a step backward, you got to go to each game prepared to play. I mean, any given night, we could have trouble scoring with our team. So it's just you can't take any team for granted.
How's the guard situation working out for you guys this year?
I'd say it's okay. We're still appealing one of our guards to get through. Blaine.
Branch.
Sorry.
He's still being appealed because that was the player who it all has to do with an English course.
Yes.
Correct? Yeah. Transferring. And,
something to that effect.
And UBC doesn't recognize it, but other schools in the country do recognize it.
Yeah, that's...
So you're sort of trying to...
That's pretty much summed up pretty well there.
Okay, yeah. And you still don't know, because I heard you had a hearing, I believe it was weeks ago.
And then there's supposed to be another appeal, which I believe is tomorrow. It was supposed to be last week, and now it's this week, so...
So I guess good luck with that one, it sounds
yes,
like,
for, at hopefully. This point. But other than that, I mean, all the other guards, they know... I think they know what their roles are on the team. I'm sure our point guards know that they need to step up and be more leaders on the court. Our shooting guards, we've got to get them away to score the ball. And, no, everyone's stepping to their own right now. And like Vern said, it's a growing period for our team right now. So they are a young team, and for them to come up and realize what their position, what their role is on this team, it's going to be an interesting season, I think.
Because, Jordan, you played here at UBC as the point guard where, with Casey Archibald and Pasha Baines on the floor, it seemed that your guys' strategy was, let's get that ball down the court as quickly as possible, and away we go.
I had a pretty easy job, for sure. I mean, there wasn't much thinking to do. Like, getting the ball, I look ahead, and there's Pasha and Casey running the lane, and what do? You just throw the ball up and see what they do with it, you know?
Because it's safe to say Pasha was probably the most explosive player
right. This
conference has seen.
Oh, for sure.
I can't even remember.
He's one of the most athletic players that I think I've ever played with. In that sense, and a great shooter at that too. So, it was easier playing with them because they were smart players in their own right as well. So you just point guard, Kev just wanted me to push the ball, get up the floor, set up an offense, and look for those open players.
So is Chris Dick the leader of this team, sort of? I mean, how's it coming along?
I think it's his job to take the leadership on. As far as scoring, we're definitely going to look to Chris. I would probably be shocked if, by the end of the season, if Chris isn't our leading scorer. Now, is he ready to take it to Casey's level, maybe 25 a game? I'm not sure yet. As far as, you know, he's one of the best three-point shooters in the country. We know that going in. Chris just has to be able to attack the rim more and get to the free throw line, something that Casey did very well. And I think he has the possibilities of being a 20-point game guy for us. But we're going to need other guys to step up, and I think in a lot of games this year you'll see scoring by committee. It'll be different guys stepping in every night and contributing.
Because Chris Dick broke his nose in one of your exhibition games, so how's he coming along with the Rip Hamilton mask at this
point. I love it. I commented it almost every single day. I think he looks better, actually. He's pretty much a pretty boy, but he seems to be handling well. He sometimes forgets that he has to bring it to practice or in the games, and he won't wear it, and Kev will get on him, where's your mask? But he seems to be playing with it fine and doesn't seem to be affecting his game at all.
And a guy in the three games I saw you guys play in the preseason, Sean Maxwell, seemed to be a guy who could step up at times. How's he come along so far?
He's doing well. It's taken him a while to adjust to the different style of basketball up here and getting used to not just the players and the coaches, but living in the city as well. There's definitely a growing process there, but he's doing some good things in practice. And we'll, as far as the season goes, it just takes him going to take him time to get used to the league and getting used to the players around him.
So that's what it sounds like here. We're still not there, are we? We're still learning.
We're still learning every day. Today was like even start of practice, the first half hour, just all fundamentals, passing, catching, and we got to do a lot more of that. But that's for coaches. It's exciting for us. It's fun because that's what we're here for, is to get the guys better and get ready for the season coming up.
And as a player, a little tedious, I bet. Hey, Jordan,
season?
No, what you're doing right now though, the fundamentals.
As a player, you know what? I think it's harder on the coaches personally to go through this because. You, as a coach, you just want, my standpoint, I want game experience. Yeah. I want, to be able to help them in seeing what's going on the floor rather than doing all the fundamental stuff. But as a player, you love that stuff. You get to work on your skills. You get to work on dribbling, passing, and all that. So I'm sure it's harder on coaches in practice going through that stuff than players, for sure.
You hope all the players have that player attitude, hey?
We sure do, yeah. And I think most of the guys, they're playing basketball,
yeah.
And that's what they're here for.
Yeah.
Get an education and play basketball every day, and I think a lot of people would kill to be in their situation, so I wouldn't think it would be boring for them at all.
And you got spin class tomorrow, you guys are telling me.
7 a.m. every week.
I thought 6 a.m. tomorrow, you said. Or is it 7?
We might have a 6 a.m. practice on Friday.
Okay, so 7 a.m. What is spin class? I still don't understand it.
It's, a beautiful young lady, actually, is our instructor. And
that's always a positive.
Yes,
hey?
It helps waking up in the morning, that's for sure. But, it's an hour-long class, and...
I should interview her, hey?
Yeah, you should get her on here, for sure. You can bring me as well. I won't say no this time. But, No, it's an hour-long class, and it's more of a cardio workout, and it's just, it's just extra training for the guys. It's good.
Awesome. You got to get the class.
Yes.
And you got to get some food in your belly.
I had some pizza before.
There you go. Jordan, you, Verdun Op, thanks as always, guys. And Vern, so you're doing well in your football pick so far.
So up until this weekend, I was doing all right.
Yeah, so yeah. What are you total right now? What are we,
total be around 29 wins so far.
And I'm at... 11.
11, so you got a ways to go.
I'm 11 and 37 picking NFL winners so far. But you don't think I should trade in a keeper pool John Kitna for Mark Bulger? You don't think I should do it?
Nah, you're not much help either way. Bulger's overrated, so.
What if I can get Javon Walker for Kitna?
Again, guy has injury history.
Oh, get out of here.
You got to do better than that.
I can't. All right, Vern and Jordan, thanks for doing this, guys.
Thank you.
I'll see you soon.
You bet.
All right. Elsewhere in UBC Thunderbird Sports this weekend, then we're going to get into another song from Haifa, and then we're going to be right back with Julio Caravata from the BC Lions Radio Network. UBC Women's Soccer are 3-1 after dropping a 4-3 decision in Victoria on Saturday. It was UBC's first regular season loss since September 30th, 2006. That's a long time. They're going to be playing a big game versus Trinity Western on Friday and at Fraser Valley, which is in Abbotsford, on Saturday. Men's soccer, they split their games on the weekend. They lost in Alberta on Saturday, but beat Saskatchewan 2-0 on Sunday. Their win was their second in six games this year, and they are now 2-3-1. They're going to be playing at UVic on Friday, and they're going to be hosting the Vikes here on Sunday. Women's field hockey, we're going to have... Calgary, UBC swept Calgary on the weekend at home, and then the defending UBC Thunderbird women are now 3-1 on the season. They're going to be hosting Victoria on the weekend. UVic is perfect on the season. And the men's football team, a tough loss for these guys who are now 2-2 on the year. They led in Regina 21-3 early in the second quarter, and then they watched the Regina Rams score 31 consecutive points. Mark McVay
played quarterback for UBC. He threw for 322 yards and three touchdowns. UBC will be hosting a very good Saskatchewan team this Saturday, 2 p.m. right here on Thunderbird campus. CITR will be broadcasting that game. Pre-game show starts at 1 for the 2 o'clock game. I got it. Are you ready now?
Ready.
Are you ready? Okay. We got another song from Haifa. Then I'm going to be right back here with Julio Caravata from the BC Lions Radio Network.
Talking about sports.
I never thought I could feel so free. Flying away on a wing and a prayer.
Who could it be? Believe it or not, it's just me. CITR Sports. Please listen.
Yo, this is Mick Levin, and you're listening to Wiener's Barbecue on CITR.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Wiener's Barbecue here on 101.9. As Mick Levin just told us. See, Julie, I'm still milking the interview.
Are you still milking Mick Levin?
I have the station ID there. No, should I not be milking it anymore?
No, you milk it as long as you can milk it.
With us right now, Julio Caravata from the BC Lions Radio Network. So, Julio, let's just jump right into it. What a game, BC. Pulling it out in the very end against the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. I can't find the score here, Julia. Where? What am I doing here? Where did it go? There it is. 37-34. BC gets the touchdown at the very end to win the ball game. A big game. Could end up deciding who's going to be hosting the Western Conference Final this year. How big of a win was this for the Lions?
Well, I think that's exactly what it was. It was an enormous win because the Lions win the season series. More importantly, they take a stranglehold in the Western Division. It's one of those things where while they want to put a lot of emphasis on this football game, they wanted to win this game, and they definitely were able to go into a very hostile environment and pull it out in a very exciting fashion. It was an unbelievable game, and I know that Saskatchewan fans were probably pretty disappointed with the way it ended up, but it was the CFL at its best.
Because one thing about Jarace Jackson, you know, he's had his up and downs as the BC Lions quarterback, but this guy, you know, we saw him do it in Calgary. When the game's on the line, he does have it in him to step up and turn into suddenly a great quarterback, doesn't he?
Yeah. That, even that's the unbelievable thing about him is that he's really been able to, you know, come through in the clutch. You know, for a lot of quarterbacks, when they struggle at the beginning of a game, it seems to manifest itself, and you really start to struggle all the way through the game. But he's able to really kind of just go out and forget about all the mistakes he's made if he's thrown interceptions or had turnovers, not worry about them, and then all of a sudden go in there and when it means the most, put a drive together. So he was very, very impressive.
And is this a team, Julio, right now, the BC Lions, where are they psyched, are they really pumped up about this win, or are they kind of relieved that they're now 3 points clear of Saskatchewan for what we assumed at the beginning of the year was going to be almost a foregone conclusion that they were going to be hosting the Western Conference Final?
Well, I don't know if it's a relief. I think that they were excited. It was a tremendous win because it was just the CFL at its best, right, Daryl? They were in Regina. It was a packed house. It was a tremendous game. They were down. I think it's done a lot for their confidence, and they realize how important every single game is, especially this time of the year. So it's one of those things where they're going to be able to put it all behind them and worry about Calgary now. And that's what I think that's been impressive about this team is that they've been able to put those kinds of games behind them and move on to the next phase. And that's the sign of a great championship team is that they don't worry about what's what happened last week, but what they're worried about what's going to happen this week.
And another stat, Julia, just surprised me because you know me, I'm a stat guy when it comes to the CFL. Just from watching the BC Lions this year, I did not know till I actually looked at it before we did this interview that BC is actually the highest scoring team by quite a wide margin in the CFL this year.
No, you're absolutely right. And it's one of those things, Daryl, that I think a lot of people would probably be pretty shocked at that statistic, is that they are leading the league in scoring. Now, they're just not doing it the way people are used to seeing them do it, and that is by throwing the ball 50 times a game. And so for the Lions to be able to do it on the back of Joe Smith and that offensive line, and really they've also done it by great defense who turns the ball over all the time for them. I really just think that the Lions have done a tremendous job of kind of almost reinventing themselves halfway through the year with all the injuries that they had. They needed to do that and were able to do it by changing the focus of their offense from a pass first to a run first team and having everything else open up around that. And I think that, you know, that with Joe Smith and that offensive line, and the way Jarace Jackson is now starting to play with more and more confidence, and they're going to be tough to beat at this time of the year because, you know, the running game, when you get outside, it becomes a big issue. And when the weather starts to play a factor, it can really be a big issue. But with the Lions playing, you know, hopefully playing, as well as they are right now, if they can secure that home field advantage, what an advantage that will be with the fans and the way they're playing right now.
Julia, are you aware that you were a bad Jew on Saturday? Are you aware of that?
Was I?
Yeah, you were a bad Jew. It was Yom Kippur. If it was the 1960s and you were a Dodger fan and Sandy Koufax couldn't pitch in the World Series, then you'd know. Yeah, it was Yom Kippur. So a great call, by the way. I was hearing it on my way to the dinner, listening to it on the 3rd-and-1 where Jarace Jackson didn't get it.
Uh-huh.
A great call by you and Rick there. But, I actually had to...
We occasionally have one or two, you know.
Well, with as many as you call, Julia, you're bound to get some right?
That's exactly right.
I'm on my way, so I listen to the game. I get out of the car, and I go to watch the rest of the game. I had to, like, mingle first with the – there are, like, 25, 30 people over there for the dinner. I had to mingle first, saw the game, and I had to turn it off with about 2.5 minutes ago, right after McCallum got the punting single. That's why I missed the game, because I was
– Oh, really?
Yeah, it was quite – but I will tell you, as I heard stories – actually, it was the Charismatic Synagogue, which is the Orthodox synagogue in Vancouver, that people were actually in their cars, and they weren't going into synagogue or leaving until the game was over. They're listening to you
really?
Guys on the radio. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Just so you know, you guys were doing a mitzvah for the Jews on Yom Kippur.
Awesome.
thought you'd like to know. Julio, Calgary coming into town this weekend. I mean, this is a game, suddenly. I mean, you think BC, you know, they got the 3-point lead on Saskatchewan, but if they lose to the Stampeders this weekend, suddenly they're in a dogfight for even third place. This is a big game.
Yeah, no, it is. And I think it would have probably been even not that they're, you know, thinking they're going to walk all over Calgary, but definitely takes a different, it's a different feel as far as the Calgary Stampeders go, as far without Henry Burris, right? The way Henry Burris was playing. You know, he was hotter than a pistol, and all things looked like it was setting up for a huge game. But now with him out, it's definitely going to affect the Stampeders. Achilles Smith, who's played very, very little this year, you know, is going to really kind of come into a real hornet's nest with the Lions, I think. You know, I think the Lions really kind of learned their lesson a few weeks back with Montreal and taking a backup quarterback lightly. And I think that you'll see a very, very hungry team taking care of what they have to do, because you just don't want to take them lightly. Defensively, they're still very good. Special teams, they're good, but offensively, I'm sure they may struggle a little bit with Achilles Smith and the Lions. You know, that's definitely what they're going to have to take advantage of, right? They're going to have to take advantage of a team that psychologically is really reeling right now because of the fact that they've lost their starting quarterback.
Yeah, Achilles Smith drafted, I believe, Julio, was second overall in the NFL draft. Yeah?
Was he second or was he first?
No, Tim Couch was first in that
draft.
Was
he? So he was, I think, actually, you know what? I'm going to even venture that he might have been third.
Behind Donovan McNabb.
Yeah.
Or second ahead of McNabb. I'm not positive on that one. Is this the highest drafted quarterback in an NFL draft to ever play against the BC Lions? I'd like to look that one up.
That's a good question. Well, I know that Andre Ware, when he played...
He was not drafted that high. He was top 10, but he wasn't
He was 10, wasn't he?
Yeah, or like 7 or something like that.
I thought maybe 7.
Yeah, that's what I'm guessing is 7. Yeah.
But you're right. It might be one of the highest.
Julia, I'll tell you what. I'll do some research, and I'll give you that stat for Saturday.
Thank you. That would be very, very nice.
That's all I'm good for, but I'll do it.
Oh, come on, Daryl.
What are we looking at, though, Julia, with Achilles Smith? Because this is a guy who is such a highly touted NFL quarterback. I mean, what are we hearing? How's this guy doing? What are we looking at?
Well, you know, I think that the thing that I've been reading is that, and what I've seen up close, is that, you know, this is a guy who's got all the physical talents in the world, but, you know, obviously there's been something missing there because he just hasn't been able to capture any kind of success with that physical ability of his. And, and it's going to be one of those things where I think you're going to see the Lions really try to exploit that. We're talking about a guy who hasn't played in games in a while. And one of the things that Calgary, I think, has failed to do that the Lions, have maybe been forced to do this year, but in years past have always been able to get their backup quarterbacks into games, is that he hasn't seen very much action. So it's for... You know, Achilles Smith, this is going to be the first time that he's going to see, he's going to start a game here and in the regular season, and he's going to go up against probably the best defense in the league. And I'm sure that Dave Ritchie is going to be well aware of that. And the disguising and trying to confuse Achilles Smith is going to be priority number one, because and the other thing, too, is that I think that they're going to really, really try to run the ball with Joffrey Reynolds, because if Achilles Smith is dependent on to throw the ball 35 times in this game, then they're going to be in some big, big trouble. But if they can limit the amount of times that Achilles has to throw the ball by running with Joffrey Reynolds, then that's going to be the game plan. Because, if like I said, if he gets forced into throwing the ball 35 times, they're going to be in trouble.
However, this is a case, Julio, in the CFL. I mean, it has happened before where guys flunk out in the NFL. They come to the CFL and, you know, less pressure. Who knows? Second start of life. Who knows? But teams have been able to catch lightning in a bottle in these quarterback situations.
Yeah, sometimes, though. But, you know, the times that he has come in and played, and early on, if you remember, when Henry Burris was really struggling, and I think they were looking for an excuse to maybe get Akili Smith in there, he just didn't play well. And I know that there was a game in Toronto early on where he looked terrible. And it seemed like once that happened and Henry started playing better, they just completely went away from Akili Smith. And now you're looking at, what, week 14 or week 13, and now all of a sudden you need the guy to play for you. So, you know, I'm sure there's probably times now where they wish they would have put him into games to get him more comfortable. But it's going to be a big, big shock to his system. And, you know, getting back to that whole point about him and getting drafted high and in the NFL, I mean, I think for a quarterback up here, it's apples and oranges as far as, you know, the strategy and what you need, the skill set you need to be successful up here. And
hello, Julio. I think we lost him. Yeah, we did. Oh well, too bad. That was Julio Caravata from the BC Lions Radio Network. I will be giving him a call during the break to just thank him for the interview and tell him, don't worry about it, Julio. We'll get you on another time. All right, everybody, you're listening to CITR Radio 101.9 FM. Wiener's Barbecue is the show. Once again, our next UBC Thunderbird sports broadcast, I'll remind you a couple times during the show, will be this coming Saturday, UBC taking on the University of Saskatchewan, the number 5 team in the country. UBC 2-2 at the present time. Game will be on at 2. Pre-game show starts at 1 o'clock. Also, next week I'm going to be salesman up here on the show. It is going to be 2 weeks. I'm going to be doing 2 shows. Our funding drive spectacular. It'll be funding drive spectacular. So if you listen to my show and you're wondering why am I asking you for money every 10 minutes, it's because it is our funding drive spectacular. So I'm going to try to put together lots of fun stuff for next week's show for the big funding drive. So there you have it. So yeah, be prepared and I'll try to make it fun for everybody. All right, we're going to take another break. When we get back, we're going to talk a little National Football League. Also on the show, we're going to be going through some very strange sports injuries. There was a case, and I'll say it again later on the show, Milton Bradley is the guy's name. He's an outfielder for the San Diego Padres, and they're in a pennant race right now to make the playoffs, and he's one of their starting outfielders. An umpire said something to him. We don't exactly know what the umpire said, but he got very upset with what the umpire said. He was at first base at the time, so he proceeded to attack the umpire, per se. You know, yell at him, and he looked like he might even get physical. Well, the base coach is trying to hold him off, and then his manager comes in and sort of like pushing him away. Well, in the process of them pushing him away and holding him off, he tore the ACL in his left knee. He goes down. That's a big deal, tearing your ACL. Tears it as he's arguing with the umpire. He is out for the rest of this season and large parts of next season. So that's a lesson for all you kids out there. Don't argue with umpires. Just remember that. They're just doing their job. They're just doing their job. All right, here's another song with Haifa when we're back. BJ Bass from Las Vegas, Nevada, with our weekly look at the National Football League. Here's another tune.
Looks at me and says, what's the rush? What are all you fools running for? The ocean gentle with her midnight waves reminds me to slow down and enjoy the day. Writing lyrics, sipping on cans of beer. I realize there's nowhere else but here. I'd rather be, and I'll,
dreams into your belt, Orion. Don't fade away, cause you know, despite them city lights, I'm still here to play. I'll tuck my dreams into your belt, Orion. Don't fade away, cause you know, despite them city lights, I'm still here to play. The fire runs its course, you know. It's telling you whether to stay or go. The city's calling you with her cell phone ring, urging you to come back to your white collar thing. She wants them dancing in the asphalt streets. Meanwhile, I've been trying to keep sand beneath my feet, beneath my feet. And I'll tuck my dreams into your belt, Orion. Don't fade away, cause you know, despite them city lights, I'm still here to play. Tuck my dreams into your belt, Orion. Don't go away, you know, despite them city lights, I'm still here to play. The city's calling you with her cell phone ring, urging you to come back to your white collar thing. She wants you dancing in the asphalt streets. Meanwhile, I've been trying to keep sand beneath my feet, beneath my feet. And I'll tuck my dreams into your belt, Orion. Don't fade away, cause you know, despite them city lights, I'm still here to play.
Student made, student featured, UBC TV. Check out www.ubctv.ca. Originally conceived in 1990, UBC TV reinvented itself this past year with the launch of www.ubctv.ca. With support from UBC Rec and run by and for students, the site showcases student material ranging from films and music videos to sports, including the production of its own show, UBC Sports Desk. With the goal of getting students involved, UBC TV allows students to submit their content. Viewers have the added advantage of video on demand, allowing them to choose with ease exactly what they want to watch and when. UBC TV is recruiting staff for the next school year. Positions available are IT Director, Marketing Director, Program Director, Producer, Videographer, and Marketing Assistant. Anyone interested is requested to send an email to info@ubctv.ca or to log on to ubctv.ca for more details.
I want to be on your TV so that you might notice me.
Now wait a minute. You know you make me wanna
shout, shout. Let it all out.
Yo, on Tuesday, October 2nd, 2007, CITR 101.9 FM and the UBC AMS presents That DJ Competition at the Pit. And we want you to spin. So here's the download. It's quite simple. Eight DJs play 15-minute sets each with a minimum of three genres of music to keep the party popping. There are no restrictions on what audio sources or what musical style the DJ chooses to use. DJs must bring their own music and needles and provide their own transportation. The equipment provided will be properly functioning, professional, quality equipment. Interested? Then send your demo to That DJ competition, CITR Radio, 233-6138 Sub Boulevard, Vancouver, BC, V6T1Z1. Along with your full name, emailing address, mailing address, home, cell phone number, your musical style, and audio sources used. MySpace submissions are also accepted. Please send them to thatdjcompetition2007@gmail.com. For more information, please visit our website at www.citr.ca or email thatdjcompetition2007@gmail.com.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Winner's Barbecue here on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. It was time there for me to spit out my gum, BJ.
Yeah, it's usually helpful.
It aids the whole speaking thing, you know? So last week I told you my surprise pick, and I asked you to place a $50 bet, $55 bet for me, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
I had the Houston Texans to defeat the Indianapolis Colts, and they lost by 6. I was almost right, but I lost. I was wrong.
And they actually covered the spread. Had you taken it with the points, you would have won.
You know what I am against the spread in my pick 'em pool this year? I've got 11 right so far.
That doesn't seem like that's a lot.
No, it's not many. I actually, the one of the weeks I forgot to hit submit. It's on Yahoo, and I actually forgot to hit submit. So
okay,
I got none right because I didn't make any picks officially.
Well, it kind of sounds like you wouldn't have got very many right anyway. So.
Okay, let's move on. With us right now, BJ Bass from Nevada, Las Vegas, talking a little National Football League talk. So, BJ, week 3 is now in the books, and let's just jump right into the Monday night game yesterday. Tennessee 31, New Orleans 14. Deuce McAllister now out for the season for the New Orleans Saints. The dreaded for the running back, BJ. We see it happen every year to somebody, maybe two or three more times to go, the ACL injury. The Saints now 0-3. They're not playing very well. They just got whooped at home versus Tennessee on Monday Night Football. They got whooped by Tampa Bay. They got whooped by Indianapolis. Starting to look, BJ, this is just not a very good football team.
Yeah, they're having big-time issues there in New Orleans. And obviously, you know, a lot of people, myself included, thought they were going to come back on Monday night on national TV, the home opener back in Louisiana, and really show something, and they came out really flat. And you know, I think that game not only showed us that the Saints are not the same team that they were last year for whatever reason, but Tennessee, it really impressed me. You know, it's not a team that I think I'm exposed to a lot. I don't really watch a lot of Titans games. I was really impressed by, you know, obviously Vince Young and the way he played and his ability to just get wins. But also, you know, the offensive and defensive line, I mean, the front seven of Tennessee really shut down New Orleans, put a lot of pressure on Drew Brees. He did not have time for his receivers to get open downfield. Obviously, McAllister got injured during the game, but you know, Reggie Bush really didn't do much either. I was really impressed by Tennessee's play on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, Tennessee now 2-1 on the season. The one game they lost, very, very close one to the Indianapolis Colts at home. Another team that, BJ, we're starting to get a little worried about right now, but you figure they're going to get it together at some point. San Diego, now 1-2 on the season. They lose to Green Bay 31-24. Green Bay's now 3-0, so there's another case where one team off to a bad start, and then Brett Favre, baby, they're 3-0.
Yeah, and I mean, Brett Favre is really playing inspired football. You can tell he's got that pep in his step. You know, he's glad he came back for another year, and he's happy that they're really putting something together there. You know, in San Diego, you know, I think that you know, everyone knew Norv Turner coming in, and Marty Schottenheimer, the coach, got fired after going 14-2 in the regular season. They bring in Norv Turner. But, you know, I think something that people really didn't expect was the way that losing both of their coordinators was going to hurt that team. And, you know, their offensive coordinator, Cam Cameron, left to become the head coach in Miami. Their defensive coordinator, Wade Phillips, left to become the head coach in Dallas. And I think it's hard to get over things like that. You know, Marty Schottenheimer, I think if he was still around, would really be able to kind of get this team grounded and get them focused and kind of going in the right direction, because that's what he was, you know. And it doesn't seem like Norv Turner has these guys going in the right direction. That interview or the press conference with LaDainian Tomlinson after the game where, you know, not only was he saying that he was shocked, you could see it on his face. He literally had no idea what was going on. And that's not a place where you want to be as a football team. If you're going to lose a game, and listen, you're going to lose games playing in the NFL, that's one thing. But it's about, you know, what you take from that game, how you build on the mistakes that you made, and how you correct that and come back next week ready to win. And man, thank God for San Diego that they're playing the Chiefs, who really do not look good. Because if they were playing a team with any substance at all, you know, I would say that it looked like San Diego's going 1-3.
Chiefs, however, did get a win. They beat Minnesota 13-10 on the weekend. BJ, you mentioned Wade Phillips. Let's get into this team. Chicago doing a really good job defensively against Dallas in the 34-10 loss, holding the Cowboys to a season-low 34 points. So Dallas really taking a step back in their victory over Chicago.
Well, you know, listen, I think with Chicago, you know, we all knew from day one, and you know, listen, I've been saying it since last year, that, you know, Rex Grossman wasn't winning games. It was
except BJ, I'll just say it, and nobody will know what I'm talking about. A guy, Darren Bogner, in our football pool, who was pretty high on Rex Grossman for some reason going into this year.
He was into sexy Rexy. we've known that Grossman does not have the ability to win football games. And what you've seen over, I don't know, maybe the last, you know, 12 to 18 games, you know, going into last year, was that defense stepping up and then pulling up victories and scoring touchdowns and putting points on the board and doing things that the offense wasn't willing to do. And this season, you know, you're just seeing kind of reaching a point of the offense needs to turn it around eventually. The defense can't keep sustaining this. And especially now, they're getting injuries on the defensive side of the ball. Major Tommy Harris is now out. Nathan Basher, Lance Briggs. I mean, these are major parts of the Bears defense, and they got to do something on offense. And it's obvious, you know, listen, it's obvious Grossman isn't the answer, but is Brian Greasy, the backup quarterback, going to be the answer? Probably not. I think we're looking at a Chicago team that's really in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, it appears, BJ, from what I read today, tomorrow they will announce that Brian Greasy will be the starting quarterback for Chicago this weekend.
And listen, you know, I don't think it's going to make all that much of a difference, because, you know, Cedric Benson is obviously not the answer as a future running back there, and, you know, the receivers aren't really very good, and there's a lot of questions there that go a lot deeper than the quarterback position. And as a coach for Lovie Smith, I mean, how long can you stick with Rex Grossman when, you know, the defense has scored as many touchdowns as the offense has this season? And that's obviously not a place where you can be. And, you know, I got to tell you, you kind of got to feel bad for Rex Grossman just a little bit. I mean, all the pressure and playing football, with, you know, in the way the media is covering sports now and the NFL Network, and, you know, it's not just one day a week, it's 7 days a week, and the amount of pressure that this guy's got to be feeling in Chicago, I mean, you know, thank God it's not one of us dealing with it, because our heads would probably roll off, you know?
No, but, and the other thing, BJ, is he was one of the big stories in the offseason. It was Rex Grossman can't deliver for the Bears, you know?
Yeah, and listen, I mean, you know, we saw that in the Super Bowl last year, and then really all throughout the season, and that defense got them to the big game, and once again, the offense lost it for him, and you know, Lovie Smith just has to go in a completely different direction there, and he's obviously been really kind of, you know, focused in on guys like Cedric Benson. He's, you know, 3 years to get Cedric Benson in the starting role, he's not doing it. Yeah, I don't know how much time you have there before you just really have to make some wholesale changes.
Yeah, BJ, keeping things going right now, poetic justice occurred in the National Football League on Sunday. It is the Oakland Raiders who had I believe it was 17-0 they were leading. They're about to roll all over Cleveland, and their offense actually got, and special teams, actually got Cleveland back into the game. It wasn't the Oakland defense, and then Cleveland kicks the game-winning field goal as time expires, but hold the phones. Oakland has called timeout just before the kick. On the re-kick, Oakland blocks it. The Raiders win. This is a week after Mike Shanahan did the same thing to Sebastian Janikowski of the Raiders. So I don't like the call, BJ, where the officials are calling timeout, and they get it in so late they even get the snap off. But
right.
Poetic justice that the Raiders did it the next week and got the win because of it. That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah, of course, of course. And you know, this week was a little bit different than Oakland-Denver, because, you know, you saw him call timeout, and You know, the Browns, you know, they almost didn't have to snap the ball, and the kicker just kind of went through with it anyways because he was already in the motion. You know, it wasn't as if we were Oakland thought the kick had gone off. It's a little bit different, but, yeah, you're right. I mean, such poetic justice for Oakland. And I mean, they're lucky they got out of that game with a win because, you know, like you said, I mean, they really let Cleveland back in that game when they shouldn't have been. And you know, the most promising thing for Oakland is when Dante Culpepper got in the game, he really played good in the quarterback position. You know, his numbers, you know, were something about, you know, like 8 for 13, 140, something like that. But, you know, there's also, you know, Mike Williams dropped a couple passes. He dropped a touchdown. So that production could have been better, and at least, you know, for my eyes, it was a sign of promise for something that Oakland can do and to do in later games in the season and win some games and be somewhat competitive this year. And Lamont Jordan is a beast at running back. I mean, you know, looking at how guys like LT and Larry Johnson and Steven Jackson, their production is down. I mean, Lamont Jordan is an absolute beast for Oakland, and he's the reason that they're even in a lot of these games to begin with.
And Beej, another team I'd like to get into. They are 3-0. Their schedule has not been so hard. 34-7 at Cleveland, 26-3 at home versus Buffalo, and then they just beat San Francisco by 21 points. But Beej, it doesn't really matter who you're beating if you're beating these guys by this wide of a margin. Pittsburgh with new head coach Mike Tomlin, 3-0 with an exclamation point to start the year.
Yeah, Pittsburgh looks really, really good. You know, just doing what they need to do to win football games. It looks like Roethlisberger is totally back into his Super Bowl form. You know, he had that motorcycle injury, and then he had to have the appendectomy last year. And there was a lot of kind of things, you know, that were Roethlisberger was playing, but you could tell he was a little rusty, a little off, and he really looks back. And you know, Bill Cowher leaves Pittsburgh. You know, Mike Tomlin takes over as head coach. Dick LeBeau, defensive coordinator, still there. And you're seeing, you know, the Pittsburgh defense really playing a major role in Pittsburgh's reemergence as a dominant team in the AFC. They look really, really good. A lot better than I think anyone really thought that they were going to be this year.
And then the final team we'll ask about, and then we'll get into picking winners, is, you know, I'm not talking about too many crappy teams this week, which is a little boring on my part. The Giants did win a game. Give them credit there. But New England, wow.
Yeah, I mean, is there any other word than wow? You know, I mean, they just look so solid. And listen, they have a tough schedule. You know, they're 3-0. There's a lot of weeks to go into the season, and they have some big games coming up, and they're playing a lot of good teams. But you know, they've absolutely shown everyone in the league that they are the team to beat. They are the Super Bowl favorite, and for them to not get to the Super Bowl, I mean, we're going to have to see a team like Pittsburgh really put some stuff together, a team like the Colts to really come up and challenge these guys. But yeah, I mean, they're unbelievable.
Randy,
they're just a machine. I mean, they keep putting up points. It's nothing affects it, you know.
The doubters with Randy Moss missed the mark there, hey?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what's kind of funny is, you know, I'm wondering if Terrell Owens is almost taking a little bit out of Randy Moss's book here, where, you know, he's been very quiet this season. And, all right, granted, you know, he got a, you know, unsportsmanlike penalty flag for using the ball in a touchdown celebration the other week. But, I mean, this is a guy that really is usually outspoken, and you know, Bill Parcells made his life miserable last year, and you're seeing him really taking on a quieter role and more of a team-first role and producing at the same time. And I'm kind of wondering if that's a byproduct of seeing, you know, the success that Randy Moss has had, just buying into the team and the team mentality, because Dallas is playing some superb football as well. Tony Romo looks like the real deal there at the quarterback. They have two running backs that seem able to get it done at different points in the game, and being able to interchange these guys as change of pace and give a different look to the defense. And Terrell Owens and Jason Witten, the tight end, is becoming a huge target for Romo. And Dallas is another team that looks really, really good. And like Pittsburgh, a lot better than I think anyone, you know, really thought that they would be. But, you know, when you look at it, you know, they very easily were almost in the Super Bowl last year. You know, Tony Romo and you know, the bobbled snap and in the playoffs where they were going for the field goal to win it. I mean, you know, they get past that game, they could have beat Chicago. They could have been in the Super Bowl. And I think the way they lost that game, you kind of forget that a little bit. And Wade Phillips shows that that team is on pace and playing some great football.
All right, let's get into this week's picks. Here we go. And I want to ask you this one. Give me the spread here. Chicago against my favorite team to watch in the National Football League this year, the Detroit Lions.
You're looking at Detroit getting points at home, 2.5 depending on, or 2.5 to 3 depending on where you're looking. That line at 3 will not stay there if it's even up at all. I'm somewhat amazed that Detroit's getting points at home. Like we talked about, we've been talking about for 3 weeks now, I will never lay points with Rex Grossman. So, a division game, and I think the way that Detroit lost to Philly, I think Detroit was, a team that was doing good things. They were winning games. They weren't really beating great football teams, but they were winning games. I think they came in and really walked into a hornet's nest in Philly and Donovan McNabb and that entire situation that's taking place in that city right now with the way that they started the season. And I don't think they really had a chance. I think they came in a little overconfident. This week they had to return home. They're going to play a Chicago team that's really hurting. Chicago needs this win, and they need the win badly. Betting on it, and I don't know if this is a game that I'm going to bet on, but if I were to, taking points at home in a division game, I would take the Lions.
Detroit is the most exciting team in the NFL this year. John Kitna is arguably a top five quarterback in the league this year. Detroit beat Chicago.
That's your pick?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. You think I overstated? I'm a huge John Kitna fan right now. I think he's wonderful. But we'll move on.
Okay. Well, listen, 450 yards in the air, that's huge. You don't really see numbers like that in the NFL very often. And, when he came off the bench with a concussion and led the team to victory, Kitna's doing some great things in Detroit and obviously working within Mike Martz and his offense and the throw the ball up, and they have all those receivers. Calvin Johnson got hurt last week, but doesn't appear serious. Appears he'll be back this week. They're a fun team to watch. I will give you that.
And a measuring stick game. Denver's been blown out by Indianapolis in the playoffs. It seems the last 3 years is my guess. They go into Indianapolis. They're always trying to show up their secondary. How many points is Indianapolis giving up in this game, and who do you think is going to win that one?
The line on that game right now is 9.5. Obviously, Denver's getting the points. We talked last week about how the Jacksonville-Denver game was really going to kind of give us an indication of Denver was for real. I was kind of buying into it, obviously a little bit too much, because, they came out with a complete inability to run the ball against Jacksonville, ended up finishing with about 50 rushing yards, something in that area. And, this Travis Henry was a guy averaging 135 going into that game. And as we know, you establish the run, it opens up the pass. I was surprised that Jacksonville came in and just really shellacked the Broncos. I think the Broncos have a lot to show, but it's going to be a tough game going into Indy and beating Indy. The Colts have this uncanny ability to win football games and do what it takes. And as a sports bettor, it drives you crazy because they won't ever try and put extra points on the board. They won't ever go for it. They're just happy to win the game by however many points they win the game by. And I don't really see Denver being able to come in and beat Indy at home. Do I want to give up a touchdown and a field goal on that on the Colts side? Probably not. I'll take the Broncos and the points, but I don't think they have any chance of winning the game.
I love the matchup of Indy facing Denver at home and giving up less than 10 points. This is a game where Indy can fly out of the gate and be up 21-3 before you blink. I will take the Colts at home versus the Broncos. Next game, BJ, it's not a great schedule, to be honest, this weekend. Monday Nighter is the one I want to ask, and then I want to ask you some of your picks. New England going into Cincinnati. What do you think of this game?
Cincinnati, you don't know where these guys are ever going to be at. They came out against Seattle, and it was a competitive football game and had an opportunity to win the game, getting the ball back with just under 2 minutes to go. They're about to hand the ball over to the high-powered offense, Carson Palmer, Ocho Cinco, and whatnot, and they fumble the kick return. Seattle picks up the ball, game over. This a week after giving up 50 points to the Cleveland Browns. Cincinnati is getting a touchdown. I don't think that it matters. I don't think there's any way that they can beat the Patriots. I think you're going to see definitely a better Cincinnati football team. I think that they're going to, they always seem to kind of play the tough games tougher and kind of like not concentrate during the easier games. And you know, I think that's why you saw him get blown out by that by Cleveland, because Cleveland obviously is not a better football team than Cincinnati. But Cincinnati doesn't seem to get up for games like that. This week, I think they're going to get up for the game, but I don't think it's going to matter because New England is so solid, and especially, I don't see how you can bet against New England at this point, even on the road. You know, Cincinnati isn't necessarily a really, really hard place to go into and play. And by that, I mean, you know, teams coming into Seattle or even in places like Kansas City where big home field advantage, and Cincinnati is not really known as that kind of place. I got to figure the Patriots.
The Cincinnati Bengals have had three wild football games this season. They had that really strange officiated game with lots of turnovers versus Baltimore the first week of the season. They won that one. They lost the shootout in Cleveland. We all know that one the second week. And just a wild game in Seattle on the weekend. However, this is going to be Carson Palmer going up against Peyton Manning on Tom Brady, on Monday Night Football. And this is, BJ, it is a pretty good Cincinnati Bengals team. And I think Palmer goes in there. We know he's got a great offense, and I think he's going to do it. And Cincinnati's not only going to cover the spread, they're going to beat New England at home this weekend. On Monday night.
Wow. That's a very ballsy call.
Well, this is the thing. You got Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, and would you say the third best quarterback in football is Carson Palmer?
Yeah, you know, I would, but, you know, there's something off with him this year. And, you know, when watching him play, he seems to be missing a lot of targets. And listen, I mean, the guy's putting up ridiculous numbers. So, you know, that can't be, understated at least. But, I mean, you see him overthrowing, you know, running backs coming out of the backfield on little short screen passes. And you're seeing him, like, not really hit guys in stride. Why that is, I have no idea. But, yeah, I would say he's the number three quarterback. I mean, who else would you want to take? I mean, he has such a big arm that I think he gets it done, and I would probably agree with you there.
All right, Beej, give us your picks of who's going to win in the NFL this week. Who are you taking? Yeah. What are your magical choices?
You know, I haven't really gotten into this too much, and obviously, you know, the line's just coming out. And one line that you know, I see right off the bat is Houston laying less than a field goal going into Atlanta. Atlanta this week, you saw them completely fall apart. They were in this game against Carolina, a very tight division game, and then D'Angelo Hall just went crazy, and he has three penalties within four plays, keeps a drive alive twice, Carolina scores a touchdown, and Atlanta's never back in the game. Atlanta's got some major issues, and, you know, I like Houston, and they played, listen, they played good against Indy. They didn't win, they still played good, and they still played solid, and this is definitely a team that's on the rise, and giving up less than a field goal going into that situation in Atlanta, I think it's going to get worse there before it gets better.
BJ, just to finish off that point, D'Angelo Hall then went to the sidelines after and yelled at his head coach.
Yeah, yelled at a couple coaches, then into the head. And it's, you know, I understand, you know, obviously he's extremely frustrated. You know, 6 months ago people are talking about Atlanta as, you know, at least a contender for the division. Now Atlanta is nowhere to be found on any, you know, landscape. They're a team that's in obvious disarray, a new coach, a new system, Michael Vick, the whole thing. And those frustrations obviously kind of flowed over. But the thing is, you're a professional football player, and you can't cost your team a game the way that he potentially did on Sunday. And that's what it comes down to, is that, you know, fine, you're going to get frustrated, but, you know, even if you would have yelled at the coaches and not taken those penalties, I think that would have been more okay with it. You would have seen a more positive reaction out of it rather than taking all the penalties and then going even more over the top and yelling at the coaches.
Any other BJ, you gave it to me. That's my shoe-in, my lock of the week. Hammer it down. Houston -3 at Atlanta. That's a really good spread. Any other picks?
I like Oakland going into Miami. I say that along the lines that Culpepper will be starting at quarterback. You know, I think Culpepper is going to want to go into Miami and show those guys kind of, you know, what he could have done if they would have just given him a chance, if they wouldn't have rushed him back into the field and rushed him back into action. I think there's kind of a revenge factor there for Culpepper. I like the way Lamont Jordan's playing, and I haven't really seen anything from Miami that really makes me think that they're going to do much. You know, why I'm all over Oakland, I don't know. I kind of dig this team, man. I kind of dig Lane Kiffin and you know, the new coaching staff there, a slimmed down Warren Sapp, a defense that's you know, playing with you know, some promise and some nice plays. You know, that's another game that I like. And you know, I don't see any way that the 49ers are going to beat the Seahawks. It's a division game. Seattle's going into San Francisco. They're giving up only two, so again, less than a field goal. And San Francisco, just, you know, the fact they went 2-0 was almost a joke until you saw the way that they did it, and then you kind of realized that it was almost like a mistake. Now you have Vernon Davis getting injured. They say he's going to play this week, the tight end for San Francisco, but I don't think it matters. I think Seattle is a team that doesn't have what it's going to take come the end of the year and into the postseason, but they're a team that's good enough to win the games against teams they should beat, like San Francisco.
Yeah. What's the spread in the Oakland-Miami game? What's that one?
3.5. And yeah. I'm going to hope that that's going to go down to 3.
Oakland's favorite or Miami's favorite?
Miami would be favorite.
Yeah, I'll take Oakland. I'm going to agree with you on both of those. All right, BJ, thanks so much for doing this today. And my last thing, did you see Milton Bradley's injury?
Unbelievable, huh?
Yeah, arguing with the umpire. His coaches are pulling him off the umpire, and in the process, tears his ACL in a pennant race, out for the season.
And now I guess they're saying that the umpire was the one that they're trying to kind of turn it back on the umpire, kind of called him out while he was on first base. You know, I think the problem for Milton Bradley is this guy has such a history, and such a bad history, of arguing with umpires and throwing bats and throwing balls on the field and you know, throwing bottles into the stands, that I don't think he's going to get much support there.
I watched that Dodger game a couple years ago, and he played for the Los Angeles Dodgers, where he threw several bats onto the field and had what could be called a temper tantrum. So, now, what was more entertaining for you, that or the Oklahoma State head coach Mike Gundy, which we're actually going to be playing later on in the show?
That was pretty good. I think the Milton Bradley was a little bit more entertaining. I don't think the Oklahoma State coach took over the crown of my favorite kind of college rant of recent years, because the guy from Colorado last year was just so unbelievable. It was pretty good, though. It was pretty good. But I guess now the story's coming out that the reporter that wrote the article is actually like a 23-year-old student. And so there's a, you know, a lot of maybe, well, you know, he was talking about, you know ripping athletes and professional and amateur and college athletes when she's a student, too. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, she's doing quite fine. She was on Good Morning America this morning, I saw.
Was she cute?
No.
Okay.
BJ Bass from Nevada, Las Vegas. So once again, the picks from BJ: Seattle to win in San Francisco, Oakland to win at Miami, and we're both saying Houston at Atlanta. I say Detroit covers against Chicago at home, and I say Indy versus Denver. You say Denver covers. You say New England beats Cincinnati. I say not only does Cincinnati cover the 7 points, they win the game.
I'll tell you one last game I like as far as betting with points is the New York Giants are getting 3 to 3.5 at home against Philly. Tough division game. Those two teams hate each other. I think you can kind of throw out the records of what these guys have done going into this game, because they just hate each other so much. Getting a field goal at home on Sunday night with the Madden Cruiser in the house, I like that game too.
Eagles will pull it off, I hope.
Okay.
Thanks, Peach. We'll see. Thanks, Peach. All right, everybody. We got a little more show still to go here on 101.9. We got two songs, however, left with Haifa. We're getting two songs in. Without further ado, with another song for all of me and you, here is Haifa.
I see a woman who was very old, with long black hair and a colorful soul. Every step taken deliberately, her old fingers wrapped around the wooden prayer beads. Oh, pray for peace, won't you please? Pray for peace, maybe the world will listen.
listen to the cries of this beautiful lady. I see three children on the market floor doing tricks, flips, back cartwheels and more. A small metal bull at the youngest feet, eyes lined black, begging to those who pass to pray for peace. So won't you please, please pray for peace. Maybe the world will listen to the cries of this beautiful children. Oh, won't you pray for peace. So won't you please, please, please pray for peace. Maybe the world will listen to the strum of my guitar, my guitar. Looking at the sky, wondering when the rain is gonna come down, wash away these city blues. Up the rickety stairs to the roof where I can see the mighty jackfruit.
On Sunday, October 28, 2007, at 3 p.m., Kokoro Dance will present Heart, Mind, Spirit, and Soul. Critically acclaimed Kokoro Dance combines kinetic and visual elements from Japan and the West to create a uniquely Canadian buto aesthetic. The company has produced over 900 performances and created more than 150 dance works that have been performed across Canada, in the United States, and in Europe. With Carolyn Chen and Holly Holt, this concert is presented as the second in our Sunday series of three dance and music performances entitled Stimulating the Senses, Music and Movement at MOA. That's Kokoro Dance performing Heart, Mind, Spirit and Soul on Sunday, October 28th at 3 p.m. For more information, please visit www.moa.ubc.ca.
Okay, everybody, welcome back to Wiener's Barbecue here on 101.9 FM, CIZR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, every Tuesday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. My name's Daryl Wiener. You're listening to Wiener's Barbecue. What are you looking at there, Mike? Me, Mike from Flexure Head, will be on right after me in about 10 minutes' time. Once again, folks, next week, will be the beginning of a two-week fun drive here at CITR, beginning October 1st for everybody at the station. Mike is pumped. Mike is... give me that Hulkamania pose. There it is. Anyways, folks, I got something to play for you, and I don't know if I should be playing this, but I'm going to anyways. This is Mike Gundy, the head coach of the Oklahoma State football team, getting mad at a student reporter. And this is just something I'm going to play for you. This is something a student reporter wrote about a quarterback on his football team. And then we're going to end a song with Haifa. I'm going to promote some stuff for her that she's doing. It's been great having her on today. But, folks, before we end the show, this is the last thing from me today. Then we're going to finish the show off with Haifa, who's been great. Here is a coach gone mad.
I'm going to talk about this article right here. If anybody hasn't read this article, I don't read it. This was brought to me by a mother of children. I think this is worth reading. Let me tell you why I want to talk about this article. Three-fourths of this is inaccurate. It's fiction. And this article embarrasses me to be involved with athletics tremendously. And that article had to have been written by a person that doesn't have a child. And has never had a child that's had their heart broken and come home upset. And had to deal with the child when he is upset. And kick a person when he's down. Here's all that kid did. He goes to class. He's respectful to the media. He's respectful to the public. And he's a good kid. And he's not a professional athlete. And he doesn't deserve to be kicked when he's down. If you have a child someday, you'll understand how it feels. But you obviously don't have a child. I do. If your child goes down the street and somebody makes fun of him because he dropped a pass in a pickup game, or says he's fat, and he comes home crying to his mom, you'd understand. But you haven't had that. But someday you will. And when your child comes home, you'll understand. If you want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, you go after one that doesn't do the right things. You don't downgrade him because he does everything right and may not play as well on Saturday. And you let us make that decision. That's why I don't read the newspaper. Because it's garbage. And the editor that let it come out is garbage. Attacking an amateur athlete for doing everything right. And then you want to write articles about guys that don't do things right and downgrade them, the ones that do make plays. Are you kidding me? Where are we at in society today? Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40. I'm not a kid. Write something about me or our coaches. Don't write about a kid that does everything right, that's heart's broken, and then say that the coaches said he was scared. That ain't true. And then to say that we made that decision because Donovan Woods, because he threatened to transfer, that's not true. So get your facts straight. And I hope someday you have a child and somebody downgrades them and belittles them and you have to look them in the eye and say, you know what? It's okay. They're supposed to be mature adults, but they're really not. Who's the kid here? Who's the kid here? Are you kidding me? That's all I got to say. It makes me want to puke.
How awesome is that? Is all I got to say. I don't know, more details to come, and I'm not going to be following that story, but that's an angry football coach sticking up definitely for one of his players. So there you have it. Okay, we got one more song from Haifa, then it's going to be Mike and Flex Your Head. Haifa, who's been with us all day today, will be playing at the Gallery here at UBC at 9 p.m. this Thursday, and the new album's going to be coming out in the next few months. Details to come. Do you have a song, a name, I'm sorry, for the new album, or...?
Not yet.
Haven't decided yet.
It's in the making.
In
the making, yeah.
So the whole... You got the songs ready?
We got the songs ready. They're all from trips in the last couple of years.
Cool. But yeah. you haven't come up with a name for an
not
album.
Not yet.
Is that a tough thing to do? Come up with a name?
Yeah. You see, I figure once the album's done, I'll listen to it once and the name will come.
Is that what happens?
Yes. It's called Inspiration.
There you go. Awesome. One more song from Hype. Yeah.
I just want to say thank you for having me on.
Hey, my pleasure. Thank you for coming.
You're very welcome.
Take it away.
This feeling's got me spinning around and I don't know when it'll stop. Making excuses for myself, I need to just slow down to the last chord. What's this about? See, I don't know yet again and again. Paper and a pen, this thing is writing itself. La da 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 da. La da da, yeah. My mind is racing like a car driving blindly in circles in the sky. Shaped like things, shaped like golden diamond rings of circles around my eyes. I'm tired. Can you tell me a story about a place where music is enough? La da 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 da. Yeah. 'Cause I've been here before.
picture in your mind with all those happier days turn into night and bring about a beautiful sunrise above the screams. I'm playing lighter just to get myself by. Buy me candy, buy me sweets, but they can't fix all of this. La da 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 da. La da da, yeah. Cause I've been here before, yes, I've been here before, yes, I've been here before. I've been here before, yes, I've been here before, yes, I've been here before.
CITR podcast update number one.
Work has begun on Canada's Information Highway. That's the state-of-the-art network that we're told will change everything from the way we do business to